We're excited by what he did for us. Take your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Oh, offering. Got to have the ushers come on up. Amen, amen. It's good to see our sister April here today. She's going to Tuesday. She goes through another round of chemo, so y'all be praying for her. And good to see Jesse here today. She's went through some surgery, and thank God she's doing good. Praise the Lord. And she's here today. What a blessing. Take your Bibles, look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, New Testament. Like I said, I know everybody's got something going on today. Go see, be with the family and sit down, eat, fellowship. What a day. What a day. And y'all, I hope you have a good day. I hope you come back tonight and be in church tonight. We have the doors open, and we like to keep the doors open. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, to him he to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled. He's talking to Christians. He's saying, you were enemies of Jesus Christ. If you're sitting here this morning, you're not saved. Jesus said you're either with me or you're against me. You're either on one side or the other. You got to choose sides. You say, well, I'll wait till I get ready to die. You might not make it that far. You don't know. A preacher friend of mine, a guy who took me to church where I got saved, was walking down the street the other day, got hit by a car and hit and run. They still haven't found the person to hit him. You don't know when time. I know my brother's in heaven. I know he's with the Lord. He's went through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering in his life physically, but I know he's with the Lord right now. He's fellowshipping around the throne of God. And you say, you believe that? I believe that, man, because the Bible says it. I know this book is real, and I know it's right. And I know this book's right on the money. And when the Lord says something, the Bible says it's better to trust the Lord with confidence than man. Man will lie to you. God will not lie to you. The Bible tells you God cannot lie. If God can lie, then we're all sunk, amen? And he hadn't lied. Jesus Christ, we know in history that Jesus Christ died. A lot of people know that Jesus Christ died. I mean, even our calendar's set by the death of Jesus Christ. Our calendars go by that. I mean, you say, in all the world, man. And I've said this to people. I've said this to men that I work with. And they said, how do you know Jesus Christ is God? I just listen to them. And they'll say, well, GD this or God blank this. And I'll say, hey, man, why are you using God's name in vain like that? Why are you saying that? And they say, well, I don't know. It's just a phrase. It's just a figure of speech. You know why? I tell them, you know why? The Bible says men swear by the highest authority. The highest authority is God. And men use God's name as a curse word. And people know that Jesus Christ is coming back. They know he's coming back. I mean, you just look at the signs of the time. The world's going crazy. Just today on the news, somebody went into a church in Indonesia, I believe it was, and they killed 200 people. Went into church, bombed them. What a crazy world we're living in. People killing each other every day, every night. People killing each other and killing on the streets. I mean, the Lord said that there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, and when before he comes back, and we know the Lord's coming back. We know Israel become a nation. He said when you see Israel become a nation, that happened 1948. That happened 1948. Israel became a nation. And they came back to the people. He said, how do you know that Bible's right? Because God promised Israel he's going to take them out of their land, and then he took it away from them for 2,000 years, and then turn around and give it back to them. And the Bible says, recorded that hundreds and hundreds of years before it even happened. And the Lord recorded that. That Bible's right on the money. And if you're trusting yourself, you're in trouble. Most people know that the Lord's coming back. They know that. They say, oh, yeah, they make a joke out of it. They make a joke about Jesus coming back. But I'm going to tell you something. He's coming back. And he's coming back. Why? Because he resurrected. He came up out of the grave by his own power. And if I'd read the story this morning and talked about the resurrection, I talked about the crucifixion, and I wanted to preach a little bit about the resurrection, but he came up by his own power. There's in the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, I show you a mystery. We should all sleep. That's 1 Thessalonians 4. We should all sleep, but we should be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. And it's going to be a resurrection one day. The Lord's going to take his children out of here. Why? Because he's called the first fruits, and he came up first. Look at this. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, you, verse 21, who were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded, settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and filled up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. The church, he says, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. There was a mystery. There are seven mysteries in the Bible. And this mystery that was hid to the saints of God, it says that even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, in whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles. Now look at this. This is a phrase I want you to look at, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that ye may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I am also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I want you to look back at verse 27, where it says, Christ in you, this is a mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, folks, people have a knowledge of God, but having a knowledge of Christ is not good enough. You got to have experience with him. You got to have a personal relationship with him. Having the fact that he lived and died, knowing the fact that he lived and died and got up out of the grave, it's not sufficient. You must believe in your heart. He must be in you and possess your heart. And you've got to trust him. The Bible says that if a man with his heart believeth on the righteousness and with the mouth confession is made on the salvation, not just near you, but in you. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory, not just tolerated of his or tolerance of this Christ, or not being tolerant of preaching, and not being tolerant of hearing the word of God and of the gospel, but having Jesus Christ as a part of your life, having him inside you and knowing you and knowing and you knowing him. The Bible says, Paul wrote down, he says, in whom God would make known what the riches of his glory, of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Lord wants to make known to you his presence. He wants to make known to you his fellowship. He wants you to know what his heart for the world. He wants you to know those things as a child of God. Why? Because he came up out of the grave. He didn't stay in the grave. He came up out of the grave. I'm talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we could get into Matthew chapter 28 when he rose from the grave. And he showed himself to his disciples. And the Bible says he on the road of Emmaus, and Luke 24, he showed himself to two disciples. And he walked along with them as they were after the resurrection. And he walked along and he said, what are y'all talking about? He came up and sat and walked down the road with them. And they said, where have you been, a stranger? You don't know what's going on around here? They crucified the one that we thought the Messiah. We thought he was the Savior of the world. And he's walking along with them, talking to them. And the Bible says he came to a place where two ways parted. And the Bible says he was going to act. He acted as if he was going away from them. And they said, why don't you come home with us? And the Bible says in Luke 24, he went home with them. And then the breaking of the bread is when they knew him, when he broke the bread. After his resurrection. I mean, man, when he resurrected by his own power. When he came to the cross, he said, no man taketh my life. He said, but I lay it down and I have power to take it up again. He took up, and if he didn't have that power to take up his own self, his own power to conquer death, hell, and the grave, then you and I could never be saved. And Jesus Christ could never be in you, the hope of glory. The Bible says that's a mystery. Jesus Christ is in you, the hope of glory. What a blessing that is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's personal. It's a personal relationship. It's personal in our lives. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, man, I've got a power in me and you've got a power in you that's going to change this vile body and fashion like on his glorious body one day. I mean, man, the rapture is going to take place, and you talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ to the world, they go, they laugh at it, they scoff at it. They say, nobody's going to be resurrected out of here. And the Bible talks about there's going to be a day of called the rapture. And the Lord's going to come back, and a trumpet's going to blow, and they're going to hear, the saints of God are going to hear their names called, and they're going to hear the trumpet blow, and they're going to go out of here. And man, there's a power in you, if you're saved, that can overcome death, hell, and the grave because of Jesus Christ resurrected. I mean, man, we'll never die and go to hell. We'll never have to worry about going to hell. I don't have to worry about going to hell now. You say, what happens if you quit serving God? What happens if you said, I don't even know the man, like Simon Peter, I'm still saved. I still got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm still going to heaven when I die. There's no salvation apart of him coming in into your heart, into you. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We know that's the church, but we use it and liken it to a man's heart. The Lord's knocking on the door, and he's trying to get in. He's trying to get in Christians' lives. He's trying to get in lost people's lives. He's knocking on the door. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, are you listening for his voice? Are you listening? I mean, here we are, Resurrection Sunday, 2019. I mean, it's been over 2,000 years since he resurrected by his own power. Are you listening? Are you looking? All right, Bible talks about those that look for his appearing shall receive a crown for loving his appearing. Are you looking for the Lord to come back? Are you living your life as if Jesus could come back today? If he could come back today, if he does come back, you say, well, the most Christians say, oh, he ain't coming back today. I ain't worried about that. It's in the future. No, I'm telling you, folks, nothing in the Bible has to be fulfilled before he comes back, right? It's fulfilled right now. He's ready. He could come back tonight. He could come back today before we finish the message. Are you ready for the Lord? Are you listening? Can you hear his voice? I mean, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, that's your only hope, man. That's the hope of the world. If the world rejects him, that's the only hope they have. Religion is not the answer. I mean, being baptized is not the answer. I mean, man, having religious ceremony is not the answer. Knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the answer. A personal, personal God. He's a personal God. You know, you think, it boggles my mind to think about the Lord knows everybody's thoughts in the world. 7.5 billion people on the planet. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're praying. He knows what you're not praying. He knows the very hair on your head. He knows every vessel in your body. He knows all that. That boggles our mind. And he knows you. And he knows if you're not saved. And he knows that there's no coincidence with God. People always say, well, that just happened as a coincidence. It ain't no coincidence. There's no coincidence that you're being here this morning. A lot of churches don't preach on Jesus Christ coming back. They preach about a resurrection, but they don't preach about Jesus Christ coming back. They don't preach about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't preach about that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's called the mystery in the Bible. How can Jesus Christ be in you, 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 all at the same time? How can he be in all of us at the same time? He is. The Word of God talks about the Holy Ghost of God. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter. When he left this world, the comforter. He said, well, it says Jesus Christ. My son called me the other day, he's a dad. Is that reconcilable? I said, yeah, Jesus Christ is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. So if the Holy Ghost is in you, it's Jesus Christ. It says Christ in you, the hope of glory. It reconciles itself. They're three in one. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's personal. It's a relationship. There's salvation, no salvation apart of him coming into your heart and saving your soul. But you know what? He's not going to come in. The Bible says he's not standing at the door and knock. He's knocking. You got to open the door. We had a guy knocking on the door yesterday delivering a Jasmine something to eat, and he was knocking on the front door. We got that door blocked off. And we said, go around the back door. And the guy was knocking, but the door wasn't going to open until the back door. And I'm going to tell you something. You can open your door this morning in your heart and ask him. He's knocking. He's seeking. You know, brother said a little while ago, he said, it might be the last time. Yeah. This might be your last time. It's by faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is a gift of God. It's a free gift. Free. Salvation is free. Cost God everything. It cost God everything. He bankrupt heaven just for you. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, you couldn't get your way to heaven if you tried. If you ask him, that's the only way. The brother quoted a little while ago, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. One way is through him. I mean, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of the church. It's the hope of the church. You say, what is the church? The church is the people. We call this the church or the building. It's a building, but it's really the church is the people. It's not just a building. We call this the church house. Now, this is a gym, but we're in the church. And we call it church snake. Why? Because we're having church in it. All the believers are in here. Everybody's gathered together. We're singing praises to him. We're shouting. We're rejoicing. We're crying. And man, the church is together. It's the hope of the church. You know, Jesus said, shall I find faith on the earth when I come? And the church has got to be stirred up. The church has got to be preached to. I mean, the Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. Christ, the hope of the church. Jesus said this. He said, look, take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 16. Look at Matthew 16. This is what he tells Peter. Matthew 16. This is a lot elementary to most folks. It's very elementary. But if you're here today and you don't understand, here we're going to try to help you understand a little bit better. In Matthew chapter 16, and look at verse 18. It says, or back up to 17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee. What did he say? Why did he say that to Peter? Back up to verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say he is? And Peter opened his mouth. Peter wasn't afraid. He stood right up and said, Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say unto thee that thou art Peter, talking about himself, talking about Peter, and then he says, and upon this rock, talking about himself, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I mean, the church is what God founded. The Lord had a purpose for it, and we have a hope, and we know the Lord's coming back for the church. Talk about the believers. And the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When all the believers get together, there's like more fire. When you keep everybody, you say, why you have to come to church? Well, when the more the believers get together, it's like putting coals together. Man, when you got one coal over here, you got Earl, and then you got Greg, and you got all these different coals. You put them together, and we start singing, and then we start praising God. We start going, woo, what a Savior. And man, it just reminds you, get you back focused on, man, what the Lord's done for us and how we should be rejoicing and keeping the church going forward rather than backwards. Amen. We ought to be keeping the church open, keeping the church preaching, and keeping the church fired up for his glory. That's why we have youth rallies. That's why we have church services and, man, prayer meetings and all that. We try to stir up the crowd and try to get people, other people get saved and get among the coals, and they feel conviction of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost starts moving in here. And you can feel it when the Holy Ghost starts moving. And, man, and you start getting under conviction. Lost people come in and get under conviction. Backslidden people get right with God and feel like they need to get right with God because they haven't been living for God like they should. I tell you what, when you get around the Word of God and the church gets together and the preaching goes on, it'll stir you up. It'll catch you a fire in your soul. It ought to. It ought to get you fired up. Christ in you, the hope of the church. It's the hope of the church. And, man, thank God he gave his life for the church. I mean, people get together at a football team for a football game, and they'll scream and yell at their football team, and they'll go crazy, and they'll paint themselves up and be sitting out there in the middle of a stinking snowstorm, and they'll just curse and swear at the other team. And Philadelphia used to be the worst. The Eagles were the worst of all. I mean, they would throw beer bottles at the opposing team, and they would cuss at them, and they would throw snowballs at the referees and all that stuff. And the Philadelphia Eagles are the only place that has a jail and a court right there at the stadium. What a thing. So they can lock a guy up and then prosecute him right there because they were so violent and so enthusiastic about their team, and they were willing to fight and kill for them. And you got people in the church And then people come to church and they start shouting and praising God. Other people sit around and say, oh, a bunch of fanatics. Hey, man, did Jesus Christ only die for the church? Amen. Paid that sin and went to hell for us. You ought to be excited about it. That Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the hope of the church. Man, I'm excited about what the Lord done for me. You know what I found? When a person's excited about something, they always talk about it. When you're excited about your football team, you'll talk about, yeah, man, here's what gets me. They always say, yeah, man, we're going to get them next year. I always say to people, are you on the team? Yeah, we're going to get them next year, man. We're going to do it next year. We got so-and-so coming in. He's a running back. I'm telling you what, he's the best running back in NFL history. I mean, they get fanatical, and they'll go crazy about it. Man, you ought to see our quarterback. I mean, man, he is something else, and they'll go crazy about it. Then you start talking about Jesus Christ coming back. Oh, man, come on. I mean, I'm talking about real life. You know what you're doing? You're living in fantasy world. Talking about, I'm a Redskins fan, but I don't go crazy over the Redskins. You said, well, no wonder they ain't winning nothing. But I'll tell you what, I'm still excited about the Lord. Man, hey, man, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. People don't say, I don't like no loser. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is not a loser. The hope of glory is the church. Jesus Christ for the church, the hope of glory. I mean the church, man. When's the last time you got excited about going to church? I had a brother, my brother Brent, he texted me yesterday. He said, I'm excited about church tomorrow. Hey, man, you ought to be excited about church. I thought, why is it people come to church and they go, oh, man, I got to go to church today. I got to go to church. Man, you ought to be excited about what the, man, coming together with the saints of God and encouraging one another and singing and praising God. Man, tears running down your face and, man, shouting, waving the hand. Some people just, you know, the most excited most folks ever get is they got a smile on their face. And that's most they get excited about. I tell you what, you get excited about something. If somebody, if a publisher's clearinghouse came to your house in May, whenever that thing is, and they came to your house and had a big old check, I think you would act like a stinking Comanche Indian. You'd go crazy. They had a big check up there and had $1 million for you or $7,000 a week for whatever, forever long you live. Can you imagine $7,000 a week as long as you live? Good night, man. You say, woo! You die of a heart attack right there when you got it. Man, but I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ is real. This life, the Bible promises, the Bible says this, if you got 70 years, you're blessed. If you get 80 years, you're more blessed. But man, can you imagine? There's some people I know, my dad lived to 88 years old. And there's some people living in the 90s. Thank God for that. They rejoiced. But I'm going to tell you what, you talking about eternity. 1 million years from now, where are you going to be? Jesus Christ, the hope of the church, is the institute that Jesus Christ instituted. He's got power in the church to prevent corruption. I mean, man, if you got that King James Bible, and you're preaching the King James Bible, and you're singing with spirit, Jesus said, if you're going to worship me, you got to worship me in spirit and in truth. That a lot of people got that, they got spirit, and they got no truth. And a lot of people got truth, and they got no spirit. But if you can get both of them together, man, it'll stir a fire. If you can get spirit and truth together. Woo! What a thing, man. What a blessing. I mean, the church can be on fire. What a blessing. Christ, the hope of the church. His power is manifested through the hearts of those that are regenerated, men and women. I mean, if you've been saved and man, you know you're going to heaven, raise your hand. If you're saved and you know you're going to heaven, man, I'll tell you what a blessing. You say, man, I'm struggling with some things. I got some things I'm trying to work out in my life. Yeah, keep working on it. But you can't work on it without the Bible. You can't work on it. I mean, the church, faith cometh by what? And hearing by the what? God uses the church. I've had people say, how many of y'all have knocked on doors and said, I said, hey, man, we'd like for you to come to, oh, you don't have to go to church. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You don't have to go to church. I said, no, you don't. But if you want to stay a deadhead all your life and never do nothing for God, you just go stay at home. You say, I'm saved, and just kind of, the Bible talks about hiding your little light under a bushel. When you get around other saints of God in the church, it should stir you up. Say, hey, brother, how you doing? How may I? Man, I'm going through some trials. May I pray with you, brother? Let me pray with you. I'll pray for you. Our sister April going through some trials. Our sister Jessie going through some trials. Others in here going through trials. Man, we want to pray. We get together and pray. It stir a fire in us.
Yes.
Keep that fire burning. Jesus Christ, the hope of the church. I mean, thank God for the church. I mean, folks, it was the church having revival in 1974 in Riverdale, Maryland. I was running from the police, punched my cross in the mouth, and a friend of mine pulled up in a 69 Z28, was waiting outside for me. There's his sister over there. I owe him. I had people calling me yesterday and the day before. They said, Brother John, if it wasn't for Brother John, I wouldn't be saved. A guy named Andy Sullivan called me. He's a car salesman over in La Plata, or a Waldorf. He said, and I know Andy, and we used to run around after I got saved. And Andy said, if it wasn't for John, I would have never got saved. I mean, could have anybody going to stand up and testify at the judgment seat of Christ that if it wasn't for so-and-so to tell me about Jesus Christ? But it was the church. John took me to the church. That night we pulled up to the church. They were having revival. Thank God. 1974, September 30th, in Jesus Christ's hope of the church. And they were having revival. Man, I got saved that night. Boy, it changed my life. I couldn't read or write. I learned how to read and write. Man, God changed my life. I wanted to serve him. I knew something happened inside here.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. I don't understand a Christian that don't get stirred up about him. And don't sing praises to him. Don't know that he's real. And they go live their life like God is dead. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend that. I don't even want to try to figure that out. If you're saved in this room, there ought to be something going on inside you. There ought to be something. When you get together with other saints of God, it ought to stir you up. When you see people, man, praying for one another, it ought to do something for you. Or you're so selfish, all you can think about is yourself. Man, it's power to prevent corruption. His power is to manifest it through your hearts. The church is the greatest institution in the world. It's greater than Citibank. It's greater than IBM. It's greater than whatever else there is. Walmart. Woo! Can something be greater than Walmart? Oh, my Lord. Can something be greater than Walmart? Yeah! Amazon. Something greater than Amazon. Amen. The church is the greatest institution God ordained. Jesus said, he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man, you talking about power. Power. You've got a power inside you. When we all get together, it's like putting coals together, like I said, and that fire should start getting bigger. The light should start shining lighter. This Brother Bilbo came here and started this church and put it on this corner, and this church is a lighthouse on this corner. People know that, this church. And I'll tell you what, they know good things and they know bad things. But I pray the good would be better than bad. But I'll tell you what, the church, God ordained the church. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of the world evangelism, man. I mean, you think about something. What could you give somebody that would last forever? What could you tell somebody that could change a man's life from a drug addict, from drinking, a girl that was a prostitute? What could you give somebody and tell somebody that could change their life? That book right there.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the hope of evangelism. Telling people about Jesus Christ. My brother back there said he was a Muslim. And he said, Christianity, start checking into it. Realize there's something real about it. Jesus Christ is real. The hope of evangelism. He said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. When I got saved, I got a burden for my family. I went back and started telling my daddy. My dad and I, when I was in the state penitentiary, my dad was in the county jail. I wanted to see my dad saved. And I started talking to my dad about Jesus Christ, and he mocked me. He said, boy, what's going to happen to you? He said, he mocked me and started saying, oh, that's that crazy Seventh-day Adventist junk. And then he said, that's that crazy Jehovah's Witness junk. He would say all kinds of stuff just to provoke me. And I remember yelling at him and almost come to blows with my father and told him, I said, Dad, you're going to hell. And what God showed me was tears. I wept over my dad in front of him and begged him not to go to hell. My mama got saved because she couldn't believe the change in me. Man, she couldn't believe it. One day I come down the stairs, my wife and I started running a bus route. And we started going after kids. And I come downstairs, my mother was in front of the TV on her knees, asking Jesus Christ to save her. Whoo! God started moving in the Ryman family. We had a curse on our family. We had a curse. My father would give out liquor, and I was dealing drugs and all that stuff, man, robbing, stealing. We had a curse on us. And God took that curse off the family when we trusted him. Jesus Christ, the hope of evangelism. Somebody started telling me about Jesus Christ, a former president of Hell's Angels, the one who showed me from a Bible how to be saved. I couldn't read it. He said, do you believe it? I said, I believe it. Sitting in a chair in a big old tent behind the church, 3,000 people there. It was already nobody there that night, but it was a whole 3,000 people. I sat in that chair and asked Jesus Christ to save me. It changed me. Amen. When I read that verse, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, what a blessing. I've never regretted the day I got saved. I regret some of the things I've done for myself, but I never regret telling other people about Jesus Christ. My brother John was a soul winner. He went after me. He says, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. So send I you. This world's getting darker and darker. And Christians are the lights are getting dimmer and dimmer. They're kind of going to the closet. You got all the other things coming out of the closets. You got homosexuals, lesbians, LGBT, whatever they are, coming out of the closets. And you got Christians going in, not telling people about the Savior, the hope of the glory, the hope of the world. Christ in you has evidence, is as evidence. I mean, when you've got Jesus Christ in you, the Bible says if a man loves God, the same is known of him. If you love God and you're a Christian, you should have some evidence. Let me ask you something. If you were on trial this morning for being a Christian, could they find enough evidence to convict you? Could they find enough evidence to say, yeah, they're Christians? By the way they speak, by the way they talk. They don't curse. They don't run, they don't go to the bars. They don't go to drinking, they don't do the drugs. There's enough evidence we can convict them. They're Christians. You know, the Bible says the disciples were first called, they were coined Christians. Why? You know what that means? It means Christ-like. You never found Jesus sitting over there saying, yeah, man, blankety blank, blankety blank. Man, I tell you what, them blankety blanks, here comes a preacher. Hey, preacher, we'll be in church Sunday. You didn't find Jesus Christ or his disciples doing that other than when they backslid, when they denied him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of world evangelism. Christ in you, the hope of evidence that there ought to be some evidence in your life that you are a Christian. Man, I'll tell you what. If you're saved, you ought to live it. You ought to stop playing games. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know, after I got saved, if it wasn't for Brother John, he kept saying, we need to go to church. We need to go to church. My wife got saved at church. It was in an afterglow. My wife followed me to church. I tried to dump her. She was not my wife. It was my girlfriend. And she had an old Dodge Dart. And we had a 69 Z28. And I told John, I said, lose her. Get rid of her. And I said, I'm tired of fighting with her. I'm tired of all that argument and all that stuff. I'm tired of it, man. We was 18 years old. And John took off and went down the road, down East-West Highway. We were going about 100 miles an hour and everything. My wife had this little Dodge Dart that had a six-cylinder, slant six, and it sounded like chitty-chitty bang-bang. It'd go, and man, we're sitting at a red light laughing at East-West Highway, laughing that we lost her. She was pulled up behind us. I heard that p-p-p-p. I was, oh, man. P-p-p-p-p-p. She follows the church. I sat on one side. She sat on the other side. We met. She ended up going with us out to, after Afterglow to a thing after church. She ended up getting saved in the car. The youth pastor led her to Christ. I was in the back seat. It was in a some kind of, not a Vega, but it was something else, like a Vega. It was a Vega. She was sitting in the back seat, and I was in the back seat, and she got saved. And we made up our mind, we're going to live for God. We made up our mind. And I'm going to tell you something. When you make up your mind, you know, we sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. One, two, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. We made up our mind. We got married at 19. Made up our mind. We're going to raise our kids for God. I'm going to tell you something. It works. It works. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is Jesus Christ in you? If he's not, you can get him today. If you're saved, you ought to make up your mind that God is going to be everything in my life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Man, what a great verse. It's a mystery, the Bible, one of the mysteries of the Bible. How could Jesus Christ come inside of me? Right after I got saved, I went to a bar. And I'm sitting in a bar, and I started cursing. And something inside me went, boom, in my heart. You know, I didn't understand what it was. It was the Holy Ghost. When I started using God's name, I never used God's name in vain again. People get mad. They'll go, God blank this and God blank that. I never used God's name in vain again. And I asked God to help me clean my mouth up. I didn't want to use curse words. I didn't want to, I mean, for a year, I was up and down, up and down. I went back to drinking a couple times. And finally, I said, that's enough. No more. Why? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It convicted me. I want to serve him the rest of my life. God is real. Jesus Christ is real. He wants to use you. I told a guy yesterday, I said, why don't you come to church and be a pillar in the church? He laughed. Me? I said, yeah, you can be a pillar. Anybody can be a pillar if you want it. God will use you. I don't care who you are. God will use you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, all this happened is because the resurrection. He said, no man taketh my life. I lay it down, I have power to take it up again. You talking about power. That's more power than the world's ever seen. I went to Israel, my wife and I, we're standing there at Calvary. We got pictures, we've got our back to Calvary. And Brother Glenn, you could hear him on the tape, on the video, he said this, the greatest event in all the world happened right here. And the world just goes by and like nothing ever happened. They got a bus stop, buses running around at the bottom of Calvary. That's what the world thinks about him. One day he's coming back. Are you saved? Are you living for him? Does he mean everything to you? Have you dedicated everything to him? Lord,